The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It's Basketball Baseball Friday, presented by Abundance Energy. Jamie's in Waco with Texas Tech Baseball as we get you ready for that 12 hours from now. As that'll be fun. First pitch, we'll have it for you on 100.7 The Score. Coverage with the warm-up show begins at 6. Let me get to a couple things off the Yates Flooring Center chat line here, Jamie. It's somewhat split. I don't know, because one person says Jamie needs a Mountain Dew, and the other says, Sonya here, Chuck is being an idiot. Okay, so is being an idiot, I think, is better than is an idiot. So, because is being an idiot implies that sometimes I've kind of got it, sometimes I don't. So that's okay. I'll take that as that. Hey, Jeff, for Pete's sakes, shut Chuck up by playing like Tom Sawyer. this agree about WW. We finally adjusted to play good basketball without him. Okay. Didn't Zach Smith return right before the tournament? What's with the Washington hate? I don't have hate. I'm just telling you what I think. That's partly what I'm paid to do. I'm just telling you what I think. So that's it. And I could be completely wrong. Just he could play today for all I know, because I don't have any internal inside knowledge. I'm just telling you what I think and what my eyes feel and what my gut tells me. That's it.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any debate about the potential of him being done for the year. I don't think anybody, you know, is going to debate you on that. Mm-hmm. But would the team be better or not without him, better or worse without him? That's where the debate comes. Yeah. You know, I don't know that, you know, unless you're inside that program, I don't think anybody knows whether he's actually coming back or not. Mm-hmm. But the question, the thought that you're a worse team with him just makes me want to, you know, hit myself in the head with a hammer.
Okay, well, I don't want you to do that. Brandon's on both sides of the aisle. He says, I agree with both of you. Beating BYU maybe bumped you a seeding line. Now you can't lose that seeding line if you lose today. You have to win both of these next games to gain another seeding line, but you take the chance of losing your legs for the tournament. Nah, I don't know about that, because, I mean, you've played two games now, and is there really a difference in a 4 versus a 5? Not much, in my opinion. Well, it could be with matchups, because, okay, and then we're going to go to baseball. I'll give you this, and then we'll go to baseball. In Joe Lunardi's latest bracketology, and a lot of he's right a lot about who's in the tournament. Now, it's not always right about the matchups or where they're going, but he's now shifted Tech to Memphis, which is part of the Dallas region, which would be awesome if you won two games. So that in and of itself is a huge acknowledgement of how Tech is playing here over the last few games, because that would be a huge advantage, obviously, if Tech were playing in Dallas. Right now, he has Tech playing in Memphis against the winner of the play-in game between Colorado and Texas A&M. That'd be fun.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So he at least has you as a 6, and then playing in Memphis, but then playing in the South region. I think what the penalty for BYU yesterday was, they were trying to be able to get to Salt Lake, which is about a 40-minute drive for them. It's easy, 45-minute drive to the Delta Center from Provo, if that, depending on how fast you go. So that would have been a huge advantage for BYU to play in Salt Lake. And I'm not saying that they're not going to get that, but losing yesterday might have put the kibosh on that, because it's hard to reward, might be hard to reward them now. So we'll see. All right. So we'll have Tech baseball on the air today. They take on Baylor. Would you classify Baylor as the worst, or is it one of the worst teams in the Big 12? Or is that even fair to say at this juncture yet?
I mean, I think you can look at their non-conference games and what they've done so far in Big 12 play and feel like they're going to be one of the teams that's struggling near the bottom. Now, whether they're the worst or not, I'm not sure. We probably need to wait on that a little bit, but I think they're they're definitely one a team that you look at the schedule and say, okay, you know, this is one that we got to win. We got to win this series.
Yeah. I mean, win the series. I mean, is it a chance? I mean, I didn't want to get too far ahead, but I mean, you know, we had Choice Woodman who's talking earlier this week about winning five games this week. Now you've won two, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he was talking pretty bold about winning three in Waco.
Well, that's Choice Woodman. He's not the head coach. He doesn't play.
He doesn't speak for you either, does he?
He does not speak for me.
When he said that, I was like, "Oh man, you're getting in front of your skis there, Choice."
Just win series. Mm-hmm. Just win series. If you get a sweep somewhere along the way, then that's great. But just win series.
How do you feel about today's pitching matchup?
Well, I feel decent about it. I think Kyle Robinson, you know, had a really rough night last Friday night. And, those kind of things happen. Unfortunately, he didn't give the team much chance to win. It was a bad night for him. No way to get around it. But I think he's a lot better than what his numbers show right now. And so I'm confident in him. And you're going up against a guy with a 5.68 ERA. So I like the matchup.
Now, do you know if Mason, is it Marriott or is it Marriott like the Marriott Hotel? And is he kin to the family, Marriott's?
Man, when I saw this on here, I said to myself, get this question.
You knew it was coming, didn't you?
I knew it was coming.
Now you want to pick up that hammer and hit your head again, don't you? It's like two hammer strikes. Did you bring aspirin on your trip?
I will at some point before the first pitch, I will look up and see if he's on the pronunciation guide, like if it's anything weird, but I would just assume Marriott, but we'll see.
But he could be kin to the Marriotts who own everything.
He didn't say that in his bio, but it doesn't mean he's not. It doesn't mean he's not though.
Yeah. Yeah. There could be one of those guys that just, hey, that's my last name. Kind of like me and Ketchup Hines. But I mean, I get asked that pretty much. I'll bet you weekly somebody goes, now, are you part of the Ketchup Clan? Nope, I'm not.
The Ketchup Clan. Well, I don't know, Chuck. You hang out with me a lot, and we've all heard that I'm a really big fan of Heinz Ketchup. So maybe you are a part of the Ketchup Clan, just not the family that makes all the money off of it.
I'm an operative. I'm a plant to make sure people use it.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Time for this day in sports history. Beware, it is March the 15th.
Yeah, not talking about that today.
24. I predicted in my mind that you would not do that, that you would go oppo on that.
Well, because, you know, everybody knows about the Ides of March.
Okay.
Not everybody knows about this one.
Okay.
Like, I didn't know about this one. So okay. I assume other people are like me and didn't know about this one.
Okay, so you're a contrarian. I mean, it's okay.
But besides, what am I going to tell you about the Ides of March that Shakespeare hasn't already told you? I mean, let the pro do what the pro does. 1869 is where we will start.
Keep that thought.
I try. Cincinnati Red Stockings become baseball's very first professional baseball team. 1945... A symbol of wartime baseball, Bert Shepard, a one-legged World War II veteran, begins a successful tryout as a pitcher for the Washington Senators. He ended up pitching in a game later for the Washington Senators and was hired as their pitching coach, throwing batting practices and pitching in exhibition games.
Wow.
He also won the U.S. Amputee Golf Championship in 1968 and 1971.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Did he have the artificial leg?
Yes, he did.
When he pitched? Okay. All right. Wow, that's amazing.
1962, Wilt Chamberlain is the first to score 4,000 points in an NBA season. 1988, NFL St. Louis Cardinals officially move to Phoenix. It worked out for him, I think.
Yes.
2005, Texas Tech men's track and field captured its first ever Big 12 title in Manhattan, Kansas. The men's squad recorded 149.5 points to secure the victory. And in 2022, the number 9 Texas Tech Red Raider baseball team defeated number 3 Oklahoma State 6-4. The win secured a series sweep and Tech's third in a row in Stillwater, as the Cowboys have not won a home game against the Red Raiders since April 6th of 2014. It is National Peanut Lovers Day. I'm a fan.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Eva Longoria, who is 49. Will I Am is 49. Brett Michaels, 61. Dean Snyder, 69. Fabio is 65.
Fabio.
Trevor Austin, 33. Kevin Euclid, 45. And Harold Baines is 65 today.
He probably could get up this morning and get a hit.
I don't know that I would argue with that.
Yeah.
He might not be able to run to first, but right. he could hit it far enough where he could get there.
Right.
Pretty beautiful swing.
And on this day in 1783, General George Washington makes a surprise appearance at an assembly of army officers at Newburgh, New York, to claim to calm the growing frustration and distrust that had been openly expressed towards Congress in the previous few weeks. Angry with Congress for failing to honor their promise to pay them for their for its failure to settle accounts for repayment of food and clothing, officers began circulating an anonymous letter condemning Congress and calling for a revolt.
Mm-hmm.
After addressing the rumors, Washington continued by pledging to exert whatever ability I am possessed of in your favor. Let me entreat you, gentlemen, on your part, not to take any measures which, viewed by the calm light of reason, will lessen the dignity and sully the glory you have hereinto maintained. Let me request to you rely on the flight of your country and place full confidence in the purity of intentions of Congress. When he finished, Washington removed a letter from his breast pocket that he had received from a member of the Continental Congress. He hesitated for a moment as he looked down at the letter before fumbling to retrieve a pair of spectacles from his pocket. Before reading the letter, Washington, in almost apologetic tone, said, "Gentlemen, you must pardon me. I have grown old in the service of my country, and I now find it that I am growing blind." The eyes of most of his audience filled with tears. The content of the letter became irrelevant as the assembled officers realized that Washington had given as much or more in the service of the new nation as any of them had. Within minutes, the officers voted unanimously to express confidence in Congress and their country. And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History. 6:51 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Take your thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com for that. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Just go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app presented by Happy State Bank. All right, Jamie, coaching job open at Oklahoma State. No surprise there that they opted to make a change in head coach there for Oklahoma State. So here's some guys that may be on the way to Stillwater. Dusty May, we talked about him a little bit yesterday. He's the head coach at FAU. His college gig was to be Bob Knight's manager, student manager at Indiana. And so he led the Owls to the NCAA Final Four last year. Okay, Pat Kelsey, College of Charleston, he's on that list. Will Wade, I don't know about him. His tenure at LSU ended in scandal, and you know Oklahoma State may look at that and go, maybe not. But he's tried to resurrect himself at McNeese. Here's a guy that probably has a real chance at it. John Jacobs, he is the associate head coach at Baylor, but he may hang around because guess who Louisville may want to be their next head coach after firing Kenny Payne, and that's none other than Scott Drew, and they may open the bank for him. Like, pay him
huge. Why would he do that?
I mean, a great question. Unless he's like, okay, I've done all I can do here. You know, I won a national championship. We got this field house built. We've got a good program here. Maybe I'm bored. Maybe they got better restaurants in Louisville. I don't know. Maybe they're going to pay me way, way, way more money than Baylor's going to pay me. Of course, we have no idea how much Baylor's paying him because they're a private institution. They don't have to disclose that. But he's on their list. But you make the great point of why would they do that? So, I mean, Jacobs would kind of go in line with, you know, guys like Grant McCaslin and Jerome Tang, who served under him. And, I mean, Drew's had a pretty good run so far with Tang having success at K-State and obviously what Coach McCaslin did at North Texas and now what he's doing here. So, anyway, just...
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Here on this Basketball Baseball Friday, presented by Abundance Energy with Jamie and Jeff, I'm Chuck. We get this from the 8th Flooring Center chat line. Caden says, rain's coming. Lightning over here by Plains. Okay. We get this, Jamie, from our friend Racer26. Me and Junior headed back from doing a turn and burn to Denver, North Carolina, to pick up a Go Fast goodie for Junior. Fixing to hit Nashville in rain, fog, and rush hour. Wish us luck. Hey, Racer26, if anybody can dart in and out, you can, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Gary says, took care of the blue Cougs yesterday. Let's get the red Cougs tonight. Guns up. All right. What if you said guns up to one of the Cougs? They'd be like, the Cougars don't want to face the gun. Austin.
Is there anybody that wants to face a gun?
No. Raider in Austin says, this raining north of Austin right now. Okay, so maybe coming your way. Chuck has never closed and opened a restaurant. That's a fact, but I have closed and opened in the retail world, which is hard. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. End a day, start a day. This, I'm in trouble. My husband just said I'm a lot like Chuck. Well, I would take that as a compliment. And then Jamie responded with, that could be a compliment. It could mean he's about to send you to the funny farm. It's up to you. Try to figure that out. Good luck. Remember the song, they're coming to take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. Ho ho. He he. He hoo. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ah.
Yeah. Jeff McGuire. Do your work.
Yeah. That's a promo.
Okay.
How do we not start every show or end every show with that right there?
Texas Tech last faced Houston on January the 17th at the Fertitta Center. The Red Raiders lost that day 77-54. How about this, Jamie? You were 18 of 49 from the field that day. You were 11 of 27 from the three-point line. So that means you were, what, 7 of 22 from the field inside the three-point line. Tech with just 8 points in the paint, and you gave up 40.
Yeah, you got bullied by Houston. Mm-hmm. I mean, they sped you up offensively, a bunch of turnovers. They just bullied you at both ends of the floor. They killed you on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like the varsity playing against the JV that night.
Houston was...
Now, you're a lot better team than you showed that game.
No doubt.
But that day, it just... The suffocating defense mm-hmm. was just really impressive by Houston. And they made the Red Raiders look like not the team that they really are.
Yeah. Kerwin Walton had 18 to lead the Red Raiders. Pop Isaacs had 12. Joe Tucson had 9. And Warren Washington had 6, although he had 9 rebounds in the ballgame. Tech with 14 turnovers. Houston capitalized off those turnovers with 17 points. They only had 10 second chance points, but that's because they shot the ball so well. They were 33 of 63, 52%, 8 of 17 beyond the arc. They only got to the free throw line three times. They hit all of them. Tech was 7 of 15 from the free throw line. What's the key to winning today then, Jamie?
Man, I think it's that you got to handle their pressure, whether it means turning the ball over or you've got to be able to handle their pressure in the half court where you're just able to run your offensive sets and get good look for your three-point shooters. I mean, yesterday you were able to do that at will. This is a different animal that I know they're both Cougars, but this is a different kind of Cougar. Yeah. And they're so good defensively, so athletic, physical, all the above. They play like a, mid-90s Eastern Conference NBA team with their physicality. I mean, they're dudes, they're guys, they're not going to back down, and you have to stand up to them. You have to be able to, not get sped up and just execute your offense without them forcing you to do what you don't want to do, forcing you into bad shots.
How impressed have you been with the ball movement of the offense by this basketball team?
I think all season long, I've been really impressed. I think they share the ball really well.
Yeah, and I mean, I think, they also do a really good job of trying to get the ball to the player that has the best shot. So if you had to ask me, I think they're an unselfish team. This is what you want at this time of year. You want to see that. You don't want to see reluctance. And I don't see reluctance to shoot the ball. I see, hey, let's see if we can find somebody that's got the best available shot, or that's got the hot hand, or it's got, the ability to hit the open three or anything along those lines. So are you cautiously optimistic today?
Nervously nervous.
Yesterday, I believe yesterday you said, and I didn't think you were wrong. I think you said that you needed to hit 10 threes to win. You hit 9. Okay. Is there anything that stood out from yesterday's game that surprised you in terms of what you were able to do? You go back to your ability to run them off the three?
I mean, did you?
Well, no, you didn't really run them off the three because they put up 35.
What surprised me was how many open threes they missed.
Okay. So that had nothing to do with you. What do you think?
I'm not going to go there. Okay. I thought at times you challenged them at the 3-point line, but they also moved the ball well, and they got plenty of open looks at the 3-point line that they missed.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing that surprised me the most about the game was your ability to out rebound them. And I you won a ton of 50-50 balls, and I think their hustle. I'm sure BYU wanted it. I'm not necessarily going to sit here and say they Tech wanted it more, but man, sure did look like it. I mean, because they sure hustled after it. They got 42 rebounds to BYU's 34, and you had 16 second chance points, which I thought was huge in the game. And then the production that you got out of Chance McMillan, 17 points. I mean, you only played 8 players last night. Yesterday, Lamar Washington played 9.5, and Emily Yolahu played almost 12. And I mean, there was concern there. At one point, you had Pop that looked like he got dinged up a little bit, and then Darion Williams, turned an ankle. And I feel like, Jamie, because when he went back in the second time, and you never know with an ankle what it's going to do after a game, after things kind of calm down and it has a chance to swell, but they'll give him all the treatment that he can muster or need or stand. So would feel like that he'd, based on him going back into the game and playing 28 minutes, that he'd be a go.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean in that direction, but I feel like we haven't given much thought at all to his health today, and mm-hmm. and he didn't look like the same guy.
No, he did not.
And so that to me is a huge factor in this contest.
Yep.
He's a guy that's going to match the toughness that Houston provides, and if you don't have his toughness along with his, you know, his ability to make plays and knock down shots and all that, it's going to make it even more difficult for you, because you know, Deron Williams at 80% is probably not a great player, just because he needs his mobility.
Yeah.
And so I think that's another big factor in tonight's contest.
All right, 7:25. Jamie's question of the day is next. Chuck singing The Witch Doctor, classic. Hope we get to hear that a lot. We'll see. I'm sure it'll come up from time to time.
Oh, the promo's been made. It's running.
They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. They're coming to take me away. Ha ha. Ho ho. Hee hee. Hoo hoo. They're coming to take me away.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to Red Raider men's basketball here. And okay. Obviously, we're hot and heavy with that right now, so we're just going to stick with it. Red Raiders have played really good of late, some mm-hmm. may say, and I think I would probably agree, some of their best basketball of the season over the last week or so. And so as you hit the semifinals tonight, and then you move on to the NCAA tournament next week, mm-hmm. my question for you today is, what is your expectation for the NCAA tournament at this time, as far as what would you feel like, hey, we got to where we probably should have?
Well, for me at this point, the bare minimum is winning your opening round game. The next question then becomes, okay, so if you don't make it to the Sweet 16, is that not necessarily a favor? Is that less than the expectation? So I think at this point in time, I'm going to say win in the first two games. If you made it to a Sweet 16, based on where you started and based on where you were in the middle and the Big 12 and the middle of the Big 12 and where you were maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'll say Sweet 16, Jamie.
Okay.
Yeah, when I think of the Sweet 16, mate, like having expectations for the Sweet 16, you've got to be a top 20 team all season long. And not just top 25, but top 20. I can't justify expecting a Sweet 16 run for a team that has been ranked for most of the year, and good chunks of it at a time, and played in a really good conference and playing really good basketball, to say, well, they have to get to the Sweet 16. That doesn't feel fair to what this team has done. Definitely winning your first round of the tournament. That's where the expectation is for me. But I can't go Sweet 16 as an expectation. It will be a very pleasant surprise.
I don't disagree with what Jeff's saying. I'm kind of in the middle there, but I mean, I'm going to stick with what I said, but I certainly embrace what Jeff said.
I feel like you're not too far off from each other. And I think I'm right there with you guys. I think Jeff is making sense, and mm-hmm. you know, where you have been all season long, mm-hmm. It's been hanging around top 25. It's not necessarily been inside the top 15 or 16 or whatever, top 10. So I think I'm with Jeff in feeling like the expectation should be one round, even though, you know, we all kind of feel like we're better right now than we have been. I want to say that, but at the same time, I feel like you have a much higher ceiling when Warren Washington is healthy and playing really well for you as well. Okay. So I mean, I think you've learned to play without him, and you've done a great job with that, but I still think you add him to the mix and you have the potential to be even better than you are currently. So, but my expectation is that he's not coming back. So I guess I'm with Jeff, but I would tell you I'm close to where Chuck is, just because I feel like if you were to win two games here, I don't feel like I'd be surprised at all if you won two games and made it to the Sweet 16. That would not shock me one tiny bit. So, you know, I'm kind of in the middle where both of you two are, and I kind of feel like both of you are the same way, that you feel like there's a chance at, at getting to the Sweet 16. And I think, Chuck, you said Sweet 16, but it feels like you're saying, yeah, I understand that you haven't been ranked that high all season long. So, you know, so clearly we're all feeling like you got to win one, right?
You got to win one.
Yeah. To meet your expectation and at least get to that point.
Yeah. And I'm also a set your expectations for a reasonable level so that when you exceed them, it is special, as opposed to, you know, a below reasonable level where you can just kind of just tiptoe over it. Like, making the tournament now is no longer an expectation, it's a requirement. They're in the tournament, that's not the issue. But it's, they are capable of it. But I also don't think the Red Raider football team is going to go undefeated next year. That doesn't mean they can't, and doesn't mean that I won't enjoy every second of it.
Jamie, you're of the camp that 9 Big 12 teams are going to make the tournament, right? You're in that.
I guess I feel like there's still a chance, but I think it's less than likely. I think 8 is more likely.
Okay. So when you look at those 8, these are the teams that are going to be seated above you at this point in time. It looks like that Houston, Iowa State, and Baylor. And I hate saying Kansas. I hate saying Kansas. I don't think it's right, but I think that's probably what's going to happen. But I think BYU, Texas, TCU, and if Oklahoma makes it, they would be below you. So in order to kind of justify Big 12 being the best conference in the country, you're going to need more than half of those. I don't know if you need half of those teams to make it to the Sweet 16, but certainly you would need Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, and yourselves to make it to the Sweet 16, because I don't think Kansas is going to make it to the Sweet 16. I don't think Texas is going to make it to the Sweet 16. And I don't think TCU is going to make it to the Sweet 16. Now, some of this depends on matchups, obviously. But, you know, you might get a favorable matchup, or there's upsets that could happen ahead that then put you in a more favorable matchup in that second-round game. But I'll say this, too, for Texas Tech, because I want this to be clear, because it gets misreported sometimes. Technically, if you make it to the Sweet 16, it would be your 9th time, but since the tournament went to 65, it would be your 6th time. But those teams from 61, 62, and 76 all deserve to be Sweet 16 teams because the tournament was, the field was less. I realize you didn't have to win 2 games then, but those teams deserve to be in that Sweet 16. When you look at Texas Tech basketball history, those teams are listed in the Sweet 16. So don't let anybody tell you that it's number 6 when it's really number 9. That's my take. It's 7:40 this morning here on The Morning Drive.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
This is The Morning Drive on Double T 97.3 and Fox 34 News Now.
8:02 this morning here on The Morning Drive, hour 3 of 3 of this fine radio program with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you this morning from our respective First United Bank studios. Look forward to hearing from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to DoubleT973.com for that, or the mobile app. This is a Baseball Friday presented by Abundance Energy. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Some thoughts here from it, Jamie. This show is educational. I used fartlek in a sentence at work the other day. Thank you for increasing my vocabulary. Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, you're very welcome.
This gibberish. Chuck wakes up. Gibberish ensues. Chuck goes to sleep. Gibberish concludes.
Huh? Okay.
There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. Okay. Well, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. Let's see here. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm happy that the top four seeds are in the semis today after beating BYU yesterday. Tech should be a 5 or 6 seed now. I think 5. If the Red Raiders can keep their turnovers under 10 and stay within 10 points of Houston, I'll be happy. But those fellas play great together. Go Tech. Red Raider Charlie. Okay. Gary says this. I thought we were the more aggressive team. Love the hustle. Yes. Love the hustle.
Yes. Completely agree.
All right. Tech baseball today. They take on Baylor. The game will come to us from Waco. 6 o'clock on 100.7 score. 6:30 play-by-play on the score. What concerns you about Baylor as you have kind of looked at them and started doing your notes and thoughts and kind of putting your things together?
Yeah, I don't mean to downplay Baylor at all here. I mean, but their offense is not one that's you look at and you get worried, you know, about them putting up huge numbers. Their pitching staff is not great. I mean, we're talking about a new coach here who's made a ton of changes, a lot of new players with the team. Unfortunately, I think you look more, what worries you or concerns you is just self-inflicted wounds, right?
Okay.
With the Red Raiders, with some of their defensive issues so far this season and kind of getting all of that worked out. So I think as I head into this weekend, Chuck, I look at it and say, you know, maybe this is, I don't mean to, you know, feel like it's all on you, but and again, I don't want to completely discount Baylor. They're a Big 12 baseball team and they've got good players. It's just, it's a building program. I think they've got a good coach now who's done great things at the junior college level, used to be an assistant here. I think he's going to get Baylor turning in the right direction, but I just look at the Red Raiders and the self-inflicted wounds they had from a weekend ago. And then that wasn't the first time we had seen that. So I look more about the Red Raiders trying to get right and rather than what Baylor can do to you.
Okay. And so where does that, in terms of getting right or staying right or being consistent, does that start with your middle infield, Jamie?
It definitely involves a middle infield. I think you would say it probably starts with starting pitching. The middle infield definitely is a huge factor in it. So I think you're fair in saying that. But I think you've got to get better starting pitching from Friday and Sunday's guys. So Robinson and Washburn have to step up a little bit if you're going to expect yourself to get to the level that you think you can get to. Those guys have to pick it up a bit. So you're hoping to see that start to happen here this weekend.
It's funny. I was, you know, as you were kind of talking about, it's implying that it's more about you than them. I was kind of the given is the, you know, the pitching. It's just like, but the on-field guys that are there every day, that affects a lot. So I was kind of separating the infield and the outfield with the pitchers per se. You know, and with regard to a guy like Kyle Robinson, I mean, is this where he needs to say to himself, or the coach is saying to him, whether he's saying it directly or implying it, you're our Friday night guy. Go show us that you're our Friday night guy. Is that kind of what it is today?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess you'd kind of say start pitching like it, right?
Yeah. Right.
And again, I thought the Friday night starts against Texas Southern and Gardner Webb, he was fine. I mean, I think he was very good. I think he was solid in the matchup with Tennessee. So I think he's better than that line showed. But you know, what matters is what you do in Big 12 play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to tell you, I mean, it was a hard night to pitch. Everybody that got out there on the mound, you know, if you go back to last Friday night, Texas's ace, I don't think he made it past 3 innings either, or through the fourth or whatever. So, you know, he got shelled as well. I mean, it was a tough night to pitch.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cold. It was windy. I mean, it was all the above, right? A tough night to pitch. And so I just look at the, so you want to cut him a little bit of slack in that regard. And so just, I don't think the coaching staff has lost any confidence in Kyle Robinson, but the Friday night guy is important because you need him to set a tone.
Sure.
You need him to not use up the entire bullpen before you even get to the weekend, all that good stuff. So, you know, we'll be really interested to see how Kyle bounces back after last week.
This may be a stupid question. Was there any consideration last Friday to saying, man, this is just not baseball conditions. We're going to play two on Saturday.
I don't know the answer to that, Chuck. I do not know. I would guess it would have been a possibility, but I don't know how serious they got about that.
Okay. And I just wonder if who has, I guess the, does Tech have control over that in that particular case, or do that?
I think the home team has a little bit more control, and mm-hmm. I don't think Coach Tadlock particularly loves playing doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right there with him. So, but at the same time, no doubt. I mean, if the weather's bad, the weather's bad, and you got to deal with it. You got to make a move and play a doubleheader. But yeah, it was pretty miserable. I mean, the interesting part about that, like, the Oklahoma schools got rain, you know, with their cold front, so they couldn't play. They both played doubleheaders on Saturday. But the Kansas schools both played on Friday night where it was colder. So, I don't know. So, the Red Raiders didn't play, but then the Kansas schools did.
I get it. I just, at some point in time, you have to be concerned about injury and things like that.
I should say the Red Raiders and Kansas schools played,
yeah,
but the Oklahomas didn't.
Right,
yeah,
no, I understand.
That's what I meant to say. I'm sorry.
No, I understood what you're saying, but it would have been like if you hadn't played here, they were like, well, they played up there. It's colder up there. They went down here. They played down here.
Yeah. I mean, you've played in worse conditions.
Sure.
Than
I understand.
Last Friday.
I understand, but sometimes if you don't have to do it, it's like, why do it? All right, 8:10. We'll continue on here and get your thoughts and comments. If you have a score prediction for today for baseball or for the weekend or for hoops, hit us up.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.